The following message is brought to you by Charles L. King, Jr., pastor of First Baptist Church, West College Hill. If you need additional information, visit firstbaptistchurchwch.org.
Anybody know that the God that we serve is worthy? Come on, somebody.
Oh, yeah.
We worship you, our Lord. You are worthy to be praised. Song says, we give you all the glory. We worship you, our Lord. You are worthy to be praised. On this Christmas Eve, the day before we celebrate the birth of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus the Christ, truly, before you anticipate opening up any presents, you must acknowledge God's presence, come on somebody, in your life. Come on, choir. You are worthy to be standing to your feet. We're going to read the scripture. We give you. We worship our Lord. You are worthy to be praised. All together, we all the glory. We worship all over the building. Stand to your feet. You are worthy. You are worthy to be praised. Say it like you mean it. We give you. There you go. The glory. One more time. It's all. We give you all the glory. Oh, right now we worship our Lord. You are worthy to, yes, oh yeah. We, my God, you are worthy. Oh yeah. Come on, give God a hand clap of praise all over the building. Celebrate. This is a celebration. Hallelujah. Glory. We don't only thank God for the birth of Jesus, but we thank him for the rebirth. Amen. If you're physically able to stand, we're going to ask that you would stand to your feet right now. We're grateful again to all who are here today. To any special guests, any friends, any those who are visiting, please forgive me for overlooking that part of our worship service. We certainly want to make sure to acknowledge you at some point, and I'll make sure to do that today, for we are grateful for each and every one of our guests, every one of our visitors, but most of all, it is the Holy Spirit who was our special guest. Amen. We are setting up a place for the Holy Spirit, for God himself, to dwell. Amen. A birthday that we want to acknowledge is Miss Mary Ellen Butler. long-term friend and member of this church. She's 90 years old on today. I'm grateful to have young Dwayne Griffith Jr. Come on, somebody, give God a hand clap of praise. Here, fresh graduate from college, following on the heels of many others. Josh Keeling, Byron Keeling Jr., Matthew and Ashley McFarland, the Hawkins children, the Fitzgerald children. I'm hoping to have two to add to the list. Come on, somebody. We're just grateful, amen, for blessings that are too numerous to name. Scripture will be read from the book of John 15, two verses in case you weren't here to hear it. John 15, the 9th through the 11th verse, and we'll also read Romans 15, verse 13. Both readings will come from the New Living Translation. Certainly they'll read just slightly different than your original King James or New King James, but I declare I'm reading from the Word of God. The text says, I have loved you even as the Father has loved me. When I have loved you even as the Father has loved me, remain in my love. When you obey my commandments, you remain in my love, just as I obey my Father's commandments and remain in his love. I have told you these things so that you will be filled with my joy. Yes, your joy will overflow. Romans 15, verse 13 says, I pray that God, the source of hope, will fill you completely with joy and peace because you trust in him. Then you will overflow with confident hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. On this Christmas Eve Sunday, on this fourth and final Advent Sunday, and for us on this Communion Sunday, our last Communion Sunday of the year, all of that wrapped up in one with your prayers and by the aid of the Holy Spirit, we want to consider the subject, Tis the Season. Amen. Tis the Season. You may be seated in the presence of our God. Father God, we come right now in the name of Jesus to say thank you. To say thank you for all that you've done and all that you're doing and all that you yet shall do in, with, and through our lives. Lord, you've already done so much when you allowed your son to come down to this earth, walk the earth for 33 years. 3 years of ministry to go, but he was born to die, sacrifice his life for the sins of all mankind. He was buried in a borrowed tomb, but Lord, he did not stay dead. On the third day, you raised him up with all power in his hand, and now he sits at the right hand. And for that wonderful plan of salvation, we say thank you. But Lord, the plan has a purpose, for your desire is that none would perish, but that all would have a right to the tree of life. And for that, we're just grateful. For Lord, we needed a Savior, and so we celebrate today. Even as I stand as your vessel, be ever so pleased to stand in my body, think with my mind, speak with my mouth. As a matter of fact, dear God, hide me that you would be seen, and silence me that you would be heard, and will be ever so careful to give you all the praise and honor and the glory. It's truly in Jesus' name and for Christ's sake that we pray. Let every heart say amen. Tis the season. Let me ask you if you were writing that down, if I asked you to help me finish this sentence, tis the season, fill in the blank. So tis the season. Now let me just take one off the table. Let me just go ahead and take this one off. I know, tis the season to be jolly. I know, fa la 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 la. I got that one. Deck the halls. But I'm asking you, for you, if I ask you to fill in the rest of those dots, tis the season, what? What would you say? To be thankful, to worship him, to be grateful. Tis the season to praise him, to celebrate. Tis the season to worship, to honor, amen. All of those types of things, to give him glory, amen, amen, amen. And a number of different things. And I would say this to you, that a lot of your responses are gonna come from whatever season you are in your life. For we are in the midst of one of the most amazing seasons of the entire year, amen, and really one of the most amazing days of celebration on tomorrow. Decorations, lights, Christmas carols, and presents for students and teachers. This is a Christmas break. Thank you. Come on, somebody. For some, it's tis a season to be off work. Come on, somebody. Amen. This is supposed to be a season of joy. Season of joy, of hope, of celebration, etc. But for some, this is not a season filled with joy. There's a whole lot of hopelessness in the world these days, and there's not a whole lot to celebrate for some people. There's a whole lot of pain. Maybe somebody's feeling some sorrow or even some frustration right now. But even if this is not your favorite time of year, even if the Christmas season isn't one of your favorite seasons, yes, even you, amen, can make this season full of joy and hope instead of pain and sorrow, for yes, tis the season. We often talk about seasons even when we don't realize it. When we talk about the weather, cold it is outside, we're actually talking about seasons. In fact, I believe, Miller, that it's during this time of year that most thought or attention is given to seasons, particularly the seasons of life. As the year begins to close, some, if not many of you, are already beginning to make plans and even resolutions for a new year. Some of you are longing even now for a new season. Others of you, however, are wishing the season you're in would never end. But regardless of what spectrum you are on or even somewhere in the middle, we all will encounter many, many different seasons on our journey through life. As a matter of fact, the writer of the book of Ecclesiastes reminds us that every season of life has a purpose. So on today, as I said, this Christmas Eve, this last Sunday of Advent for the year 2017, and for us, our last Communion Sunday for 2017, I've come to tell somebody it's tis the season, and whatever your response is, I say it's tis the season for you to be in some overflow. Come on, somebody. It's tis the season to be in overflow. But how? That's a big word, and folk like to talk about overflow. But how are you going to get overflow into your first field? Come on, somebody. You have to be filled and bubbling over in order to have some overflow. Now, and be careful what you are overflowing with. Come on, somebody. Because whatever goes in is what's going to come out. You can't sow seeds of sorrow and not expect sorrow to overflow. Can't sow seeds of pain and suffering and not expect that to overflow. But the Bible says we should be overflowing with some joy. Come on, somebody. With some joy and some hope. But how is it? How is it that we should be living in overflow? Well, here's the teaching. First of all, we need to understand that joy is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. Teach, Lord. Joy is a fruit of the Holy Spirit, and it's produced by God's work in us, and it is a part of God's will for us. Thus, experiencing joy should be a part of every Christian life. Care where you are, care what stage or what age, experiencing joy should be a part of every season of a Christian's life. But you can't. First of all, in order to have joy, you got to receive joy. And you got to know how to get it. And joy is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. In other words, like I said, it's on the screen. Not only is it produced by God's work in us, it's a part of God's will for us. It is not God's will that we walk around joyless. That we walk around with our chin stapled to our chest all the time. That we always have our shoulders slumped. I'm not saying we don't have that sometimes, but that's not God's will for your life. It's not. The root word, I'll teach it here. root word for the word joy in the Greek is chara, C-H-A-R-A, chara. But you can understand that word is closely related to the Greek word for grace, which is charis, teach Holy Ghost. So you have C-H-A-R-A, chara in the Greek, which is for joy, and charis, C-H-A-R-I-S, in the Greek for grace. What are you saying, Pastor King? What I'm saying is joy comes when we are aware of God's grace. Amen, amen, amen. So if you're taking notes, write this down. So joy is not only a gift of God, but it is also a response to the gifts from God. Amen. See, it's not only a gift of God, but it's also a response to the gift of God. What are some other gifts? Ooh, I thank God for the gift of life. Come on, somebody. Being clothed in your right mind is a gift. Come on, somebody. Having clothes to put on your back is a gift. So listen, I don't care whatever you had to put on. Put on those pants and that dress and those shoes with some joy. Amen, amen, amen. You had a little something to eat. I don't care if you didn't have steak and eggs. If you had fried bologna, thank God for the joy, the gift of some food on your table. Amen. That's what joy is. Can't always be complaining about what you got to eat. You got something to eat. There's a whole lot of folk that would love to trade places with you to have some crumbs on the table. Prophet Nehemiah said, Nehemiah 8 verse 10 part B, he says, this is a sacred day before our Lord. He says, don't be dejected and sad, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Amen. So I got to ask you a question, somewhat rhetorical. You don't have to talk back, but think about it. What is the joy of the Lord? What is the joy of the Lord? Well, one commentator wrote on this verse, he said that the joy of the Lord is the gladness of heart that comes from knowing God. But not only from knowing God, abiding in Christ and being filled with the Holy Spirit. You see, we got to be filled with the Holy Spirit. See, there's a whole lot of spirits you can get filled with, but not all of them are holy. Come on, somebody. We got to be filled with the Holy Spirit. The Bible says in Luke chapter 10, verse 10, that when Jesus was born, the angels announced good tidings of great joy. Therefore, if you are a Christian, I said, if. See, coming to church is a good thing, but being in church don't make you in Christ. But if you are a Christian, if you are a follower of Christ, if you are a disciple of Jesus, then guess what? You have already experienced great tidings of joy. He has already brought some joy into your life. What kind of joy has he had? I'll give you some reminders. The joy of just simply knowing that Jesus died for you. The joy of knowing that your place in heaven is assured. Why? Because of what Jesus has done for you. The joy of knowing that your sins, past, present, and future, have already been forgiven. Somebody should say, thank you, Jesus. The joy of knowing that you are in a relationship with a God who loves you and cares for you, and guess what? Has a plan for your life. The joy of knowing that the Holy Spirit resides in you, leading and guiding you, helping you to bring honor and glory to the Almighty God. And if you can't come up with nothing else, quite simply, just knowing Jesus, come on somebody, should bring joy in your life. Listen again to the words of Jesus recorded here in John 15, 9 through 11. He says, I have loved you even as the Father has loved me. He says, when I have loved you, even as the Father has loved me, he says, remain in my love. He says, when you obey my commandments, you remain in my love, just as I obey my Father's commandments and remain in his love. I told you these things so that you will be filled with my joy. Yes, your joy will overflow. John 16, verse 24, Jesus, he said this to his disciples. In essence, he's saying this to us. He says, you haven't done this before. He says, ask using my name, and you will receive, and you will have abundant joy. You see, my brothers and my sisters, we need to understand that one of the characteristics of the early church was joy. Acts 2, 46 and 47, again in New Living Translation, says, they worshiped together at the temple each day, met in homes for the Lord's Supper, and shared their meals with great joy and generosity. It says, all while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all people. And each day the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. You see, don't worry about what God gave you that he gave you to give away, because he can replace that. See, there's no sense in us holding on too tight for what God gave us. It doesn't belong to us anyway. We are merely managers even of our joy. You go ahead and give some joy away, he'll replace it. You go ahead and give a smile or a good deed away, he'll replace it. That is the will of God. He says, praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. Amen. Paul wrote in Romans 14, 7, he says, for the kingdom of God is not a matter of what we eat or drink, but of living a life of goodness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. You best believe that in these days and times that we are living in, especially in the days and times that we are in right now, the current season, you need the Holy Spirit to guide you. You're going to need the Holy Spirit to help keep your attitude together. You're going to need the Holy Spirit to keep your behavior together. Come on, somebody. You're going to need the Holy Spirit to help you watch them, not only your actions, but some reactions. Mm-hmm. Y'all done popped your lips at somebody I know all this week. You can't be wringing your neck at provoke all this week. And don't be mad at folk because they ain't acting right. We thank God for the Holy Spirit. I say it is time and time and time again. There's some folk you work with. There's some folk you live with. There's some folk you hang out with. Wait a minute, watch this. There's some folk you go to church with who may not know God, but they need to thank God that you know God. See, folk mix up. They mix up mercy, see? Oh, they mix up grace. We understand grace being unmerited favor, and we understand mercy, not getting that which we deserve. But see, mercy sometimes, and they misunderstand weakness or meekness. See, they think because you ain't respond that you ain't got nothing to say. You got plenty to say. But meekness is really strength under control. See, they think they can keep just nipping at you and nipping at you and nipping at you on your job, messing with you and messing with you and messing with you. And they keep thinking, well, he can take it and she can take it. And you need to say, boy, listen. But for God, there go I, because I could, yeah. But thank God. But we also need to thank God even now, because there's really about the presence of God versus the presence that you may not get, especially if you don't have God as your personal Savior. That's the greatest present that we can ever have. Again, Paul wrote in Romans 14, he says, for the kingdom of God is not a matter of what we eat or drink, but of living a life of goodness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. If you are a disciple of Jesus, then you are a part of the kingdom of God. And as a result, you share in a life of peace, joy, and hope of God's kingdom. So let me ask you again, rhetorical question, but you can write this down. Is the joy of the Lord your strength in the season that you're in? Is the joy of the Lord your strength in the season that you're in? For some of you, you are in the midst of a season you never thought you would have to go through. Right now, some of you are in the midst of a season that you never thought you would even experience. And some of you are in a season, guess what? It's not your fault, but it is your problem. And you got to deal with it. So is the joy of the Lord your strength in the season that you are in? See, you can experience the joy of the Lord in every season of your life. How? By keeping your eyes on Jesus. Jesus, the author and the finisher, the initiator, the perfecter of your faith. And I know what the Bible says, that faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. But faith actually helps us to know that the joy of the Lord is our strength. Maybe you are in a difficult season of your life. Maybe your situation or your circumstance is so difficult that it has made you so focused on the problem or so focused on the circumstance that you feel unable to experience the joy of the Lord. In order for us to experience the joy of the Lord, instead of dwelling on our circumstance, instead of dwelling on our situation, instead of dwelling on how we feel like things should be or how we wish like things could be, allowing that situation to rob us of our joy, our focus needs to be on God. Now, I'm not one of those kind of preachers that just stands and preaches and just says that we ought to just simply ignore the fact that we got problems. No, I didn't say that. Let me be clear. I'm not saying that we deny our feelings. I'm not saying that we even try to suppress our emotions. But what we're going to have to do, even after you cried all night long, at some point you're going to have to turn that thing over to Jesus. Yeah. At some point, you're going to have to submit your circumstance, your situation, your problem to the God who cares. Because, see, too many of us, I don't mean no harm, are talking to folk who really don't care. Amen. And too many of us are hoping in some folk who really can't help us. Amen. But turn that thing over to the God who cares. Amen. God cares for us. So on this morning, I didn't come to be long. I came to be clear. And I want to be close with the words of Paul in Romans 15:13. He says, I pray that God, the source of hope, will fill you completely. Not some, not three-fourths, will fill you completely with joy and peace. They go together. They're hooked together. With joy and peace. Why? Because you trust in him. Then will you overflow. The Bible says with confident hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. It's the power of the Holy Spirit that will enable you to do some stuff not even you thought you could do. It's the power of the Holy Spirit that will cause you to be even disciplined in an area you didn't think that you could be that disciplined in. Said it before, and I always say this about that scripture and verse when the Bible says, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. Well, where I wrestle with that is this. Where I say, Lord, I believe, I'm saying, Lord, I believe in you. I believe in your abilities. I believe in your power, in your preeminence. But help my unbelief. I'm saying, Lord, help me to believe in me the way that you believe in me. I'm saying, help me to believe in me to go through this thing like you say I can go through, because I'm not too sure right now. Help me to believe in me to deal with whatever the circumstance that I got to deal with, even though it's not my problem. I've taken it on. But Lord, I need you to help me to believe in me the way you believe in me. Because sometimes, like the three Hebrew boys, we stand before the fire and we say, Lord, it's getting hot. And the folk that are trying to throw us in are trying to make the fire hotter. And we're saying, Lord, it's getting hotter. Now, I believe that you can deliver me. But can you get to, but if not, my God is able. When you are in your Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus in his humanity said to the Lord, who nothing is impossible, and said, Lord, if it be possible, take this bitter cup from me. Even Jesus himself in his humanity said, Lord, if it's possible, take this bitter cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine will be done. So what is God saying to you that you need to be saying to yourself? There's some stuff you're dealing with that you're going through, physical, mental, emotional, relational, financial, spiritual, etc. Heard from one of the members who has to have some surgery as a result, has to have some surgery coming up as a result of some surgery that was already done, but they didn't do the part, they didn't do the surgery right. And there's some stuff that they should have known potentially. Now they've gone on, but they've got to have another surgery. But they're still saying that God is able. Don't you let that stuff get in your spirit. It'll mess with you. Folk are messing with you on your job right now, holding you back from promotions, messing with your money, all of those things, sitting down. It's coming up to year-end review time. They're going to sit down and scrutinize everything you've done and try to, with a fine-tooth comb, pat you on the back and say you've done a good job and don't give you a dime more for it. What you going to do? You going to go off? You going to go in? Are you going to simply say, God is able to keep me? And Lord, if it be your will, keep me as long as you need to keep me here, but I'm ready to walk through a new open door. Relationally, for some of you trying to say, should I stay or should I go? You better listen to the Holy Spirit. Because when the Holy Spirit says stay, then you can't leave. But if he says leave, then you can't stay. Now, I'm not saying that you don't have volition and free will. You can choose to do what you want to do, but you best believe the Holy Spirit will always take the joy out of it. So make sure you do the best that you can to live with no regrets. In other words, don't stay wishing you had left, but don't leave wishing you had stayed. Wait a minute. That's not just in relationship. That's in your church membership. That's in your ministry. And that's whatever it is that God has placed before you to do. Make sure you do being led by the Holy Spirit. That's why I pray that God, the source of hope, will fill you completely with joy and peace. Why? Because you trust in him. Then you will overflow with confident hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. Let me ask you, is your hope confident? Is your hope alive? Is your hope vibrant? Or is your hope struggling on the verge of extinction? How will we find our way forward when the usual lights that illuminates our path no longer shine? What do we do when it feels as if our world is falling apart? Where do we go when it seems as if darkness is our only companion and God seems to be nowhere to be found? My brothers and my sisters, hear me today. But the dark times of life are threshold moments. While the temptation is to do something, to fix it, to ease the pain, to escape the uncertainty, and to get back to whatever it used to be. The God of Christmas, however, the God of Advent doesn't allow that. We can never go back to the way it was before the lights went out. If you're taking notes, write this down. I believe they're going to put it up. God does not undo our life. God redeems our life. I say it again. I said, God does not undo our life. God redeems our life. That will free somebody up from something that you haven't let go and moved on from. That'll free somebody up from something that's got you stuck in your past or stuck in the moment and you haven't been freed up to move on. Some of you say, I wish I could go back and do it all over again. Some of you had the nerve to be saying to somebody, can we start all over again? Mm-mm. Now you want to go back to whenever you feel like it was good. But if you got to go back through the good, you got to repeat the bad. So thank God. He doesn't undo our life. God redeems our life. Christ, the God of Christmas, the God of Advent, the Christ of Christmas. Christmas is not so much about the losses as it is about the hope, the coming of what will be. The hope and coming is the Son of Man, Jesus the Christ. You want to know about presence, P-R-E-S-E-N-T-S? It's the presence of Christ that is the ultimate answer to every prayer, to every light extinguishing loss, and to every season of your life. For yes, 'tis the season. You may, the doors of the church are open. Amen. Stand to your feet. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this message brought to you by First Baptist Church, West College Hill. If this word inspired you, please consider sharing it. We ask that you do not alter the content without permission. We invite you to firstbaptistchurchwch.org. Inquiries can be submitted at info@firstbaptistchurchwch.org. Our mailing address is 6210 Betts Avenue, Cincinnati, Ohio, 45224. Or you can call our offices at 513-681-1011. First Baptist Church, West College Hill. Reaching the world without sacrificing the message. First Baptist Church, West College Hill. Reaching the world without sacrificing the message.